Psalms 89 and verse 13, this message is the hands, it's entitled The Hands of God. The Hands of God. Psalms 89 and verse 13. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. God has a mighty arm, a strong hand, strong is thy hand. And high is thy right hand. And we've talked about this before and this notion. And I tell you what, the more religious you are, the more religious you're brought up. Now, when I talk about religion, I'm not talking about pure religion and undefiled. Okay, I'm talking about religiosity. Okay, when I'm talking about just tradition, religious tradition. It seems like the more you're steeped in a religion, the more you have this notion that God is some mean old man in the sky just ready to pounce on you if you mess up. My wife is a former Catholic, and I'm not saying every Catholic has this experience, but being with my wife, being with some other people, Larry Parker that was here last week, is a former Catholic, same experience there. When I talk to these folks, they have the tendency not to view God at times, I'm not talking about all the time, but not to view God in grace, but view Him in justice. View Him in terms of justice rather than grace. Right? It's been instilled from them since they were very young, you know, that you have to do right, and you have to be right, and you have to act right. And you do. You do. It's just that God's grace will take care of. God's grace is sufficient. And God doesn't have that big right hand. It says his right hand is high. Okay? And people have this notion that his hand is up here in the air, getting ready to whack. No. You remember where we were saved from? A miry pit. A low place. And God's not in a low place. But He's got a high right hand that reaches down into that miry pit and is able to pull out. It's a high hand, but it reaches low. It's a high hand, but it's a hand of salvation. He has a high hand, a hand to reach for. We're not reaching down for God's hand. We're reaching up for God's hand when we reach for God. So He has a high right hand. Turn to Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 12. He has a high right hand, and He has a big right hand. How many of you remember Johnny Bench? All right, a few of you. You know how many baseballs Johnny Bench could hold in his hand? Higher. That's not the number I remember. It's like 13. I mean, just a big old hand. It's unbelievable. I mean, he'd be on the Johnny Carson show, and they wouldn't want to talk baseball. They wouldn't see how many baseballs he could hold in his hand, you know. A big hand. But Johnny Bench didn't have a hand, or doesn't have a hand like God's hand. He's got a big hand. God's got a really big hand. Big. He's just, how big? This big. It spans the universe. Isaiah 48, 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. Now don't imagine God as some boastful, incapable person who's saying, well, I've done this, and I'll do this, and I can do this. No. God is one who speaks with authority and with truth, and He said, this hand laid the foundation of the earth, and this right hand spanned the heavens. Now, that's a big hand, isn't it, Nathan? That's a big hand. Big. Big hand. That's not all of it. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. The right hand of God is an important hand. Somebody asked me one time, what's the left hand do? I said, I don't know. But that right hand's pretty busy in the Bible. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this. Now he's at the right hand of God exalted, which ye know, which ye now see and hear. Excuse me, verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, God's got a big right hand, and at God the Father's right hand sits Jesus Christ. And he has been exalted and made him both Lord and Christ, both Lord and Savior. Exalted. God the Father has made God the Son exalted. He's both Lord and Savior. Turn to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. I got to thinking about the hand of God. And we've never seen the hand of God, but we have seen the effect of the hand of God. And we do daily, and we experience it daily. We experience it every minute of every hour. There was a preacher. Well, remember I'm doing that microphone doesn't like it, does it? There is a preacher by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Do you remember what his famous message was? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. So powerful was that message that was not preached, it was read. So powerful was that message after God had given him that message, after he had bade that message in prayer for, I don't remember, 2 or 3 weeks. In a very dimly lit church, he read with that manuscript nearly at his face for lack of light. He read in a monotone voice that message. And before the message was even over, the Spirit of God, the hand of God, was so upon those people that from the back of the church all the way forward, people began to crawl to the pulpit asking God to spare them, to save them, and realizing just how powerful and gracious the hand of God is. And I think about the hand of God. I think about the hand of God, and it's a hand that's not like my hand. The hand of God came here, God manifest in the flesh, the express image of the Godhead bodily, Jesus Christ. He came and he had eyes and a mouth and hands and feet and arms. And inside that hand was the hand of the divine, it was the blood of the divine God, the sovereign God, the powerful God. Inside that blood was the DNA, the information of God. Inside my children is DNA, information from me and from my father. Inside the hand of Jesus was the DNA of God. Jesus, with that hand, performed very, very many miracles. With that hand, he struck no one. With that hand, he taught. With that hand, a sinner, a woman who was taken in adultery was brought before him. And with that hand, he stooped and wrote in the ground and taught. With that hand, he pointed out many things concerning the creation. And with that hand, he healed. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18 says, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him." A certain ruler came and worshipped him. How? Saying, "My daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." You don't even have to say a word, God. Lord, just come and put your hand on her, and she'll live. She'll come to life. Mighty hand of God. Mighty hand of God. You know, there was a man. There was a group of men. There were some people at one time that thought, you know, that hand, that in it pulsed the blood of God, the redeeming Savior, the Creator, that it would be a good thing to take a nail and place it into that hand and pin him to a cross, and take the other hand and place it on the cross and put a nail in it and nail him to a cross by the hands, and then by the feet, and then pierce his side. Somebody thought that was a good idea. Somebody thought there was advantage in that. I'll say this, there was. Without it, we would not be saved. Without it, we could not be saved. It was a necessary thing. But it was the most irreverent thing that could possibly have been done to that hand, to pierce it. Oh yes, it was absolutely necessary that every drop of that precious blood be spilt for us. Salvation was in his hands that day. You remember what Thomas said? Thomas, who had missed out on the resurrection, Thomas, who had missed out on seeing Jesus appear there in the upper room with the rest of the disciples. Maybe it was Wednesday night. He'd missed prayer meeting. He's there, and he says, "I will not believe it until I put my hand in the nail print in his hand, my finger in the nail print in his hand, and my hand into his side." That's what he said. For that we call him Doubting Thomas. But he had more faith than we would have. And he was also mistaken. Because Jesus does appear to him and he says, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger and touch my hand. And reach hither thy hand and touch my side." And Thomas didn't need to do that at all. He said, "My Lord and my God," when he saw his hand. The hand of God. Hand of God. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. There's salvation in that hand, the hand of God. And it's not short that it cannot save. Isaiah 59 and verse 1 says, "Behold, look, see, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." God's still in the saving business. And He'll save us by that outstretched hand of salvation. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 21, Romans chapter 10 and verse 21, it says, "All day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Have you ever tried to do that? Hold your hands out here. Or as he said, "I've held my hands outstretched." How long? Stand up if you would. Stand up if you would. There's nothing like experience in the Bible. Okay? Put them out there. You know what's next. Put them out there. Now I'm just going to talk to you for a little bit. Okay? Just keep them out there as far as you can reach. Now if God's stretching for somebody, He's not going to make them come to you, come to Him. He's going to reach as far as His arm can reach, and it reaches a long ways. And He says, all day long, I have reached out my arms to a gainsaying and disobedient people. Okay? You know what that tells me? Now, this is Romans. This is New Testament. You know what that tells me? Anybody getting a little pulled? A little strain? Keep them out there. We haven't even been going a minute. Okay? All day long. All day long, He says, come unto me. Come unto me. All day long, the Spirit says, come. You're not saved. You need a Savior. Come. Come. And He says, there are gainsaying and disobedient people all day long. Now you tell me, what kind of arms does God have? They're not only strong arms. They are sustaining arms. I mean, He's got some endurance. He's got some staying power all day long. Put them down before you have to go to the chiropractor. All day long, I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people, He says. You know what we would do? Listen, we'd say, come on, come and get saved. No, I don't want anything to do with it. No, I don't want anything to do with it. You just keep your religion to yourself. And we'd say, okay, fine. I stretched out my arm. You had a chance. Just go and die and burn in hell in your sins. That's what we would do. If we went to the trouble to stretch out our arms to help somebody and they said, no, you just keep your help. All day long, and I believe every day, God got that arm stretched out there just saying, come, come. You don't know it yet, but all you need to do is come. Just come. Over and over again. Gracious, merciful, long-suffering, loving kindness. All day long. All day long. Turn to Psalms 138 and verse 7. Let's look at verse 6 too. I like verse 6 too. Psalms 138. This is becoming a favorite subject of mine, God's arms, God's hands. And so I won't, I'm sure I won't get to preach all of this tonight. But here in verse 6, Psalms 138, verse 6, I mentioned this Psalms 138 this morning, if I remember right. Psalms 138 and verse 6. Though the Lord be high. Remember, He's high. Got a high arm. Yet hath He respect unto the lowly. Boy, aren't you thankful for that? You say, well, I'm not so lowly. I've got this job, and I've got a pretty nice place to live, and I've got this family, and I come from this background, and I've got this education and all that. Stack it up against what God has. All of our righteousness is just as filthy rags. There are none that's righteous. No, not one. We're all gone out of the way. He says, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. But the proud He knoweth afar off. You know what that says? God says, the lowly, I respect that. The lowly, I will minister to that. But the proud, just keep them afar off. God hates a proud look, Proverbs says. One of the things God hates, proud look. Man comes in all puffed up and all proud. God just says, keep him at arm's length. Keep him away. Keep him apart. Now the lowly, it says, he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. There's safety in God's right hand. You're worried about something? You're worried about somebody doing something. You're worried about somebody trying something, worried about somebody breaking in, you're worried about somebody trying to hurt you, worried about any of these things. You got the right hand of God here. It says, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. He's going to save me with one hand behind his back. He'll save me with the right hand. He just needs one hand for this job, taking care of me. Just one hand. It's more than sufficient. There's safety in God's right hand. Verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Here you ask, how do you know the will of God in certain situations? God says He will perfect. He will perfect the things that concern us. He will perfect the things that concern us. Look at this. It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. How? Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Didn't He make us? Didn't He make us? He made us in the first place. He made Adam. He formed Adam with His own hands. And He breathed into him and he became a living soul. And He made man. He made us. We're the works of His own hands. And He is so concerned about the works of His own hands that He will not forsake them, but He will perfect down to the smallest detail the things that concern us. I find great comfort in that. It tells me that if I'll submit to Him, that I don't have anything to be concerned about, because I'm in merciful hands, capable hands that are out to perfect me. And what a job the Lord has there. Isaiah 64:8. Very, very safe hands. Safe from all of our enemies. They're sculpturing hands or shaper hands as well. Isaiah 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou art potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. Just like a potter making a pot. That's what we are. Shaping us every day. Pressing a little bit of here, a little bit of pressure here, to get just the right shape, just to conform to the right image. A little more pressure over here, or maybe a sharp edge here, put just the right lines in us. Right? Shaping us. That old pot gets done, and He's got it made just like He wants to make it. We're going to go through His refining fire, and it'll be heat treated for eternity. Just the right temperature. That refining fire. His hands, capable hands, sculpturing hands, shaping hands, smiting hands. God's hand does smite. Let me read for you. You don't have to turn there. I'll go quick. Isaiah 5:25. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against His people, and He has scattered forth His hand. He has stretched forth His hand against them and has smitten them. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this His anger is not turned away, but His hand is stretched out still. Sometimes God in His justice just has to smite. Sometimes He just has to put that hand down and just bust up things. Sometimes it's with the pot that He's making. He just has to put His hand on it. Say, nope, I'll start all over. Right back to the beginning. Just take it all. Plop her back on the wheel. Start again. Sometimes. Psalms 44:2 says, How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand, and plantest them how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. Let me give you just a couple more scriptures. I'd like to give you many more, but let me give you just a couple more. Jeremiah 32:17. Fully capable hands. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You say it can't be done? God can do it. You say it would be impossible? I can't even imagine it. There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing. Nothing. Very capable hands. Fully capable. Turn to John chapter 10 and verse 27. There's security in these hands. Security. I guess this is probably the most important thing about God's hands. Let me ask you this. Can this pencil stand? Is it standing? Can I make it stand? How can I make it stand? When it's in my hand. Right, Ken? When it's in my hand. Listen, we're a pencil. We're a pencil. I just dropped a pencil. He's got better hands than I do. We're a pencil. A pencil is an instrument. A pencil is of no use, can provide no service, until it is in a hand. Follow? We're a pencil. And we're in God's hand. Amen. We're in Christ's hands. Some people will only see the epistle, the scripture that is written by our life, this pencil. They'll not read the scriptures. The only scripture they'll see will be a scripture of flesh, where God writes and uses us. But we're not worth anything unless we're in His hands. And for us to buck against His will, for us to resist His will, is for the pencil to say to the hand, I am not useful. Now, is that possible? I have never heard a pencil talk. God's given us the ability to speak. But as a Christian, I'm not saying a saved person. You can be saved and not be a Christian. Right? But as a Christian, we're to be Christ-like. We're to be conformed to the image of His dear Son, were to be a pencil ready to be used. To be used to write whatever it is He wants to write with our lives. Amen. Psalms 10 and verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Who said that? Jesus Christ. He said that. He says that His people hear His voice and they know them. They hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. That's Todd. Mom, it's Josie, it's Nathan, on down the line. Every believer in God's hand, in Christ's hand. He said so. He promised. He promised. Okay. That's good. I'm glad I'm in His hand. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful He's promised that. And He's promised that neither, He said, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. Look down in verse 29 of the same chapter. We're in Father's hand too. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So here I am. I am in God's hand. I'm in His hand. I'm in His hand. I'm in Christ's hand. And I'm in the Father's hand. What do you think? Can you jump out? Can somebody take you out? Can you fall out? Not going to happen. We looked at how big God's hand is. Big enough to hold every believer. Big enough to span the heavens. A mighty hand. A mighty hand. So we're in Christ's hand. And we're in the Father's hand. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're in Christ's hand, we're in the Father's hand, kept by the power of God until the last day. Every day kept. Every single day kept by the power of God between the hand of the Father and the hand of Christ. I'll tell you what, that's pretty safe ground to be on. There's a lot of security in that. Amen. A lot of security in that. You remember what it was like when you were a child? Or maybe you've got children. I've got some children still young enough, or a child or two still young enough. When it's dark, things can get a little tense. Can't they? Sometimes when it's dark and you're walking, you'll be walking along, and they'll come up and they want to grab your hand. Everything's all right when you're holding the Father's hand. But I tell you what's more important than that is the Father's hand holding ours. When we go trying to serve, we go trying to hold God's hand, listen, you're better off just letting Him hold yours. It's a big hand. It's a secure hand. It's a powerful hand. It's a capable hand. It's a sufficient hand. It's a shaping hand. What a hand God has. It's a wonderful hand. Do not try to hold God's hand. Let Him hold yours. Let Him do the holding, and you do the trusting. Trusting. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your hands and for Your promises. And God, we ask that You would lead us by Your mighty hand. God, I pray that we would be able to say at the end of our lives, into Thy hand I commend my spirit. Father, I pray and ask that You would lead and guide. Father, we have none other to trust in, nor need to trust in any other. For You are a mighty, saving God with fully capable hands. God, I pray that this week that we would allow You to hold our hands and to lead us, direct us, and guide us as You see fit. In Jesus' name I pray.